Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And we do have slides today. If I go back to the title slide, if you could, please. I like to create these titles and try to make an image that fits the title. The title today is Grace, Everything You Need. Say, Lord, thank you. That grace has everything I need. And of course, the graphic shows a waterfall. And water speaks of the word. Water speaks of provision. Water speaks of nourishment. Water speaks of the essence of life. And so that grace to us is our essence of life. Grace flows like a river, like a waterfall. And grace is providing everything we need. Hebrews 12, let's go there now, please. And let's begin. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 18. It reads as follows. For you have not come to the mountain that may be touched and that burn with fire, and to blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and a voice of words, so that those who heard it begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Let me pause there in the reading and say this. Now, this in context is talking about when God's presence came upon Mount Sinai. When Israel had left Egypt, going into the promised land, they had an encounter with God. And God's presence came on top of that mountain so strongly, the mountain shook. And the Bible says that there was fire and blackness and tempest. It was an awesome sight. It was God's presence on that mountain. The sound of a trumpet and the voice of words. And the Bible says the people were afraid. They were so afraid, they said, Moses, you speak to us. Don't let God speak to us, Moses. You speak to us. So the people weren't ready. They were not ready for the presence of God. Now, it wasn't God trying to scare people. Just God being God. Amen. You see, and when God's presence encounters nature, now nature is fallen. The world is a fallen, sinful place. And there's darkness and sin in the land. And so God's holy presence came into this realm and it caused a disturbance. So God wasn't causing a problem. It was his presence was too strong for the environment that he came into. Amen. And so the people saw this. And because they themselves were sinful, nobody was ready to hear God. But the text is saying to us, as Christians, believers, says, you have not come to this mountain. You've not come to a place where you should be afraid. You've not come to a place where you're overwhelmed by God's presence. You can't handle it. You've not come to that place. That's not the time we're in today. Then it says in verse 22, Hebrews 12, 22, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who have been registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than of Abel. Now you have come to the manifestation of God's covenant, of restoration, of God's presence, all the best things of God. You've come to Mount Zion, which speaks to us of God's throne, God's place. You've come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. See, God is saying to us, we have identity that's not earth-based, it's heaven-based. So then, even though you walk the earth, your identity is with heaven, with the resources and blessing of heaven. You've come to the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. Now, that's the official name of the church. General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. Who are registered in heaven. That's good news, y'all. Are you registered in heaven? Oh, I'm registered. My name is in there. Your name in there? I am registered in heaven. He says, to God, we come to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That is, those who've died and gone to heaven. So we're also we're in fellowship with all of heaven, including those who've gone before us. He says that, and you've come to Jesus, the mediator of a better covenant. Thank God for that. The new covenant. Our church is named for this phrase. You've come to Jesus Christ. Mediator means he's the one who negotiated terms. He's the one who handles all the benefits and blessings, who conveys to you whatever is in the covenant he brings to you. He's the mediator of a new covenant. And to the blood of sprinkling that speaks of better things than Abel. Now, Abel was the one who died at the hands of his brother Cain. So Abel died because of the injustice of his time and of his own brother. And so we've come to that which speaks of better things. See, Abel's blood was spilled in vain. It was spilled in jealousy. Everything good, everything that's for you, everything that you need is what grace provides. Then going on says this, verse 27. Now this, once more, indicates the removal of things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. That's strong text here, full of blessing and promise. And my title again today is Grace, Everything You Need. Everything you need. We sometimes get confused about what we need. I think we're confused sometimes about the source to meet every need. But please be clear on this, that grace is everything you need. The word says that Jesus came full of grace and truth. We're saved by grace through faith. So we know that grace is everything we need. Been teaching on grace now for several weeks, really several years off and on, because grace is a foundational principle by which we live. Now, we live in an unstable world. We live in an unstable world full of unstable and changeable people. Even the things in our lives are subject to shaking. But shaking only reveals what cannot be shaken. Now, when it says there, once again, I shake the earth. Now, he shook it first time way back on Mount Sinai. You read that. The mountain that shook with darkness and all that. God shook things then. But he's also doing a shaking today. In fact, the shaking God does in our lives today is not to make us afraid. It's not to make us run away. The shaking today is to, it says here in the text, it says, as to shake off things that are made so that things which cannot be shaken may remain. And so that, now the shaking takes many forms. Often it's shaking in our circumstances. Sometimes it's shaking in how we're thinking and what we're understanding and what we're encountering God in. And sometimes it's shaking in our finance and relationships. I mean, God, there's shaking going on. And this shaking is God ordained. God's in it. God's doing it. And the thing is, if you don't understand the principle, you think this is bad. I'm being shaken. Oh, it's a good thing. Because when God finishes shaking, the stuff you don't need is coming off. Amen. For example, here's a little example. When you go to the car wash, next slide is a sign. You go to the car wash, and they tell you, we're not responsible for power antennas, so forth, bug shields, luggage racks, sun visors, loose chrome, running boards, glued on stuff. Any non-factory installed items, right? Because the car wash is kind of a shaking. All them brushes going on and things are moving. The water's blasting. And so that cheap stuff, temporary stuff, might get shaken off, blasted off. Now, I'm saying this because, give me some examples to think about. We have a lot of things. I can't say we. I just say maybe. I say I've had a lot of things in my life. I've kind of add-ons. is put in my life. Pick this up, pick that up. And really, you know, just over the course of life, it's like, you know, living your life and living in your apartment, living in your home, and it's time to move. And you find out how much stuff you got you don't need. It doesn't do anything anymore. It doesn't help you. One time, wife and I, we purposed years ago to do a cleaning. So I ordered a little small little drop-off dumpster, a little small little thing. That thing got full. I had to order another one. I should have got a big one in the first place. We had more stuff we didn't need than we thought. We don't realize how much stuff we have that we don't need. So the shaking that God is bringing is to help us realize that. And so what seems like a negative thing, and I don't like the way I feel, I don't like what's happening in my life right now, it don't feel good. Yes, but it's good for you. Because God is shaking off this stuff that really doesn't belong in our lives in the first place. So God's doing us a service. He's doing us a favor. Because, again, grace provides everything we need. So grace has already given you what you need. This other stuff we put in our lives, we don't need. Now, here's some cards, what they call them mods. A mod is stuff you put on. Now, the car on the bottom got these vents. Got four vents on the side. It's a minivan. Four vents on the side, vents on the hood, and some chrome trim. Where are those vents going? Where are the vents going?
Nowhere.
It's just decoration. You know, I understand that. The car in the middle got six exhaust pipes for a little four-cylinder engine. You don't need six exhaust pipes for a four-cylinder engine, yo. That's how we look sometimes. We just got stuff, man. It ain't really, it don't serve any purpose. We just like it. That's not bad. Until you got real work to do. This stuff you like is just in your way. Yeah. This is stuff we've all done to our cars. It's fun. My point, though, is in life, as Christians, as believers, we don't need any of that stuff. Grace is everything we need. And so when you add things in that don't come from grace, that stuff will eventually get in the way. It'll get in the way of something God wants to really do in your life. Or it'll take your attention away from what your attention should be on. But your life doesn't need mods from you. Any mod we get, M-O-D mods, need to come from God. Any add-ons, anything needs changing in your life, let God change it. Amen?
Amen.
Say, Father, help me
to
let you change through grace what needs to be changed in my life. So as the first sign said, they don't go back to it, but the first sign said that they said, now we're not responsible in the car wash. Anything that's not original factory equipment. Now, we all come to Christ with all type of baggage. Come on, somebody. We come into Christ, the whole thing of being renewed in your mind. Pull off the old man. Put on the new man. It's the process of pulling off the mods, the stuff from the past. And even as believers, we get caught up in things and we take on this little doctrine or something happens. We get a hold of something that's just not serving God's purpose in our lives. So let's get back to the original equipment. Because God's original equipment in your life is enough. What Jesus brings, the Holy Spirit brings, what his kingdom brings to you, that's what you should focus on. Everything else might be nice, but it might be a distraction. It might be a hindrance. It might slow you down. It might get in the way of what God is doing. And you can live a life that doesn't need exterior things because you know who you are. You don't have to make it look like something. You are already God's child. You're already kings and priests. You're already royalty in God's kingdom. You're already everything and everyone, every person, or everything, I say, God said you are. Y'all receive that?
Amen.
Now look at Matthew 11. Now here's how stuff gets added. Watch this. Watch this. It's a blessing. Here's how stuff gets added to our lives. In Matthew 11, verse 16, Jesus said this. He says, but to what should I liken this generation? What are they like? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned for you and you did not lament. Now watch this. In our environments, in our culture, people expect us to do stuff just because they said do it. I mean, sometimes things have no bearing on your life. So I'm playing a happy song for you. You should be dancing. But number one, I don't want to dance. Number two, I'm not a dancer. Number three, I'm not going to dance to your tune. I'm going to dance to God's tune. Because grace is everything I need. I already knew who I was before I came up in here and you began playing your flute. I already knew what God expected of me before you came with your expectations that do not line up with God. Now, we do serve others. I mean, sometimes, yes, I mean, you're serving people. They call, you respond. I understand that. We all get that. This text talking about Jesus is being critical of the generation. He's saying, in essence, this is a monkey see, monkey do generation. It's my translation, okay? Can you imagine how much trouble folk are in today? Because someone said, hey, let's go over here. And they went over there. Didn't think about it, didn't pray about it, didn't reason if I should be over there or not. Went over there. I taught you last week, I mentioned sometimes this violence happening today, when it happens to people who are innocent, sometimes, as the Bible says, the companion of fools will suffer harm. Now, you might not be a fool, but you run with fools. If you run with a fool, you shall suffer harm. That's a proverb. A proverb is a maxim. It's just the way it is. I don't believe it. Don't matter what you believe. The Bible is true here. My point is, so if what if then we are those who are sitting in a marketplace and someone's calling out and playing these little songs for us, and we jump into the tune. Sometime, many times, that's exactly how we get stuff added to our lives that don't belong in our lives. We're going with people. We're doing stuff. Ought not go there. Ought not do that. It's just not for you. Matter of fact, it didn't occur to you to do it, did it? In your prayer time and your thought process and your planning, that never came up. So now, you know, Billy Bob says something, and there you go with Billy Bob. What are you going with him for? When that was never on your mind, you never thought about that until somebody said, let's go over here. See, don't live like that. Say, I won't live like that. Grace is everything you need. I mean, I understand people would be a little bit hurt if you don't go with them, but they'll get over it. Yeah, forget about it, too. Or they'll try to play you, you know, play with a little bit of silence, a little bit of anger, like, you know, I don't stand there. You should go with me. Oh, now you're going to try to control me. Oh, okay, now we see what's happening now. Oh, okay, we see. Now we see. I'm really not going now. I told you I'm not doing that. Why you keep asking me that? What's behind that? See, so See, grace is all you need. Grace has everything you need. I can go with you, not because I need to. It may be God's will. I may want to, but I don't need anything from anybody. I need God. And whoever God sends, thank God. But see, but look at how much trouble people are in today in the world for going along and following behind folk who do not have the purpose of God centered and central in their thinking. Now, so then realizing that, see, the good news about things is when you realize something, you ought never feel condemned. You know why? Because you can deal with it. You can switch it. You can change it. You can fix it through the grace of God. Now, so then that's why in the shaking, again, look back at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 27. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of things which are being shaken as of things that are made, things that are made. Made things, man-made things, if you will. That the things which cannot be shaken may do what? Remain. So the thing that won't shake off, you know, is the thing that was designed to be a part of that or a part of you. And so that's how, you know, we go through trials and tests and things happen. And we go through fiery trials sometimes. Things are hot, man. It's rough in there. But you come out the other end of it. And it's amazing what burned off, what fell off, what remained. And so what remained is obviously what God intended for you. It's your pure design. It's the essence of who you are. You know, if you have a computer, even a phone, there's a computer nowadays. Sometimes it acts funny. Just, what's it doing now? You know, what do I do? Turn it off. Turn it back on. Because what happens is, while it's on, the programs are loading up in the memory. Loading up. And because they want you to think the thing is fast, it's something called a cache. Now, cache is a part of a computer or a phone that holds instructions. So when you come back to it the next time, it'll work faster. To give you an illusion, it's a real powerful machine. It ain't powerful. It just holds on to information and give it back to you, but sometimes it gives back the wrong information. Because you've changed what you're doing, but it's holding on to old information. It's called a cache. So you have to flush the cache. Kill the cache, they say. It's a bad term, but just turn the thing off. Turn it back on. And most of the time, that clears up the problems. Because that turning off just shook stuff out of the system. God does these shakings with us just to help us loosen and help us discard the stuff we don't need. One time I remember in my ministry and business, I got accounts for different things, different services online and things I need. But I forget sometimes what I've got going. And every now and then, you know, sometimes you might misplace a debit card and have to call a card in that's lost. It's not really lost, you don't know where it is, right? But that breaks up, that messes with payments. So sometimes when it happens, I've got some payments to accounts, like, you know, the online, some things I need to have done, or I needed like websites, web hosting. But sometime I got stuff out there I forgot I had. And so now I get emails saying, you owe us a payment. Oh, I don't want that anymore. Payment for what? All of that. And so I cancel the account. Make the one last payment. But even in that shaking sometimes reveals. You got stuff attached to that card, you need to come off that card. Or don't wait for it to happen by accident, do it on purpose. Amen. Do it on purpose. Detach yourself from stuff you don't need. It's quiet up in here. I guess y'all listening. Or offended. I don't know what. Are you offended? You listening? What's going on? I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's happening. I'm keep on going. Keep my head down. Keep moving. So this shaking that God does, I said God does now. You think, I don't like this. But it's God doing it. And we know it because when you endure it and you move through, at the end of it, you're glad. You're glad for what has come off your life. You're glad. You're happy to see what God has done. And you're relieved. My point is, shaking happens, things sometimes come that put a demand upon you that doesn't feel good at the beginning. But if you trust God, if you lean into the grace of God, you will appreciate everything God is doing later. How many of you thank God for that teacher who you didn't like when you was a kid? I mean, the one you liked was all right, but the one you didn't like probably helped you the most. The one who wouldn't let up on you, the one who expected the best from you, the one who would, you know, was on your case, looked like all the time. You know, that's the teacher you remember now, because it was somebody willing to shake you. Thank God for shaking. Say, Lord, thank you for shaking. So in times of shaking, when things come off, again, it feels like a loss, but it's actually a gain. It's a net gain, because something unnecessary is coming off of our lives. And there's a whole lot of stuff that's unnecessary that should come out. Now, one good benefit of shaking, as you said there, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. See that? Look back there in your Bibles. Hebrews 12. He says, we are receiving a kingdom, Hebrews 12. And verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us do what? Have grace. By which grace we may serve God acceptably and with godly fear. So the whole setup is all of this shaking moves us in position to receive the grace of God. Because when you're done with adding mods to your life and doing stuff to yourself, when you're shaken from that stuff and go to trust God, then grace can work in you now. And when grace works in you, a lot better things will come out of your life. So he says, you are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And so one of the benefits, I'll give you this, is you can then rest in what God's given you. Rest means I'm not exerting my own effort, my own strength. I'm doing stuff, but I'm doing it in God's strength. I can rest in it. And you can rest in your unique shape. Say shape. Now, this term shape, next slide, is a Rick Warren term. Pastor Rick Warren used this word shape, S-H-A-P-E. And all of us have a shape. And your shape is determined by the grace of God, not the mods and stuff you add in. I'm talking about what God's done. So S stands for spiritual gifts. H stands for heart. A stands for abilities. P stands for personality. And E stands for experience. Each of us have a unique mix of spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, personality, and experience. It's your shape. Well, your shape, you are shaped by the grace of God. You hear that? And so when grace is doing the shaping, you end up with things you need to have in your life. You end up empowered by God. You end up doing the will of God. And so the shaking we're experiencing then is to shake off the stuff that's hindering the formation of our shape. You got that? The shaking helps reveal your true shape. You got that? So that's why the shaking may not feel good. Oh, but it's good for us. Because you've got grace and God's giving you spiritual gifts. Your heart, your personality, I mean, your abilities, your experiences. I mean, the good and godly things in your life. God wants to use all that. See, it's not that what grace gives you only come direct from heaven. No, you get things from your life. But only God can help you sift through and sort what things belong in you from your environment. I mean, going to school is a part of that. Education is a part of this. No doubt about it. Some relationships. I said some. I didn't say all. I mean, some folk just need to go. Did I say that's plain enough? Out of your life. I can't say I ain't going to do that. You know, my example is, I always tell you, you know, I met Pat at Ball State. And dated for a minute. She got saved. I had to go. Like, you can't do this to me. Moi. How you gonna cut me loose? That messed me up. Like, wait a minute now. I'm Brian, I'm Adonis. My nickname, you know, frat name Adonis, you know. You can't do it. She just, you know, she's serving God now. So I got saved behind that. I mean, it led me to come to Christ. Now, this is to have, not only to have her back, you know what I'm saying? But once I realized, man, this was important for me. This shaking right here. See, having someone I thought I loved her, but that shaking, her leaving, getting out of my life, you know, and serving God for her shape's sake, actually helped me to turn to God. See, sometimes the things you do help people. You think you're helping people. You string folk along. Think you're helping them. No, you're not helping them at all. Sometimes it's best to cut some people off. I don't mean dishonor and disrespect. I'm talking about do what you should do so God can do what he can do. We are more in the way than we think we are. Let me say that again. We are more in the way than we think we are. So what Pat did helped me. If I never come back to her, I still would have been helped. I still would have been saved. But it worked out. I mean, God was in it, but God had to shake it up. He had to shake it so it can get back to a proper form. So we came, we began to date as Christians. And, of course, all these years later, it worked out just fine. Amen. Worked out great. But had there not been a shaking, I can't say it would have worked this way. So it's important to obey God. It's important to respect people, to respect people's feelings. I understand that. But don't let feelings get between you and God. Let's take Hebrews 13. So it says, verse 9, be not carried about with diverse or various and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Now, there's no end of people saying stuff and saying it's God or it's the Bible. I mean, people are saying all kinds of things, diverse and strange doctrine. But see, if you get a hold of something, but it's not coming from the grace of God, you've got a mod, you've got an add-on, you've got something in your life you then have to get rid of later. So rather than have that problem, just let your heart be established by grace. So if you're getting what grace is bringing you, then there's no need to undo it later. If we're not rash, if we're prayerful, if we're prudent, we can walk into the things of the grace of God and get the right things up front and avoid a whole lot of headache later. Don't be carried about with strange, diverse doctrine, because it's a good thing that the heart be established by grace. It's a good thing. I like that. It's a good thing that the heart be established by grace. Now, Hebrews 12 and 25. So he says, see that you do not refuse to listen to his voice, God's voice. For if they who refuse to listen to the one who brought the oracles of God upon the earth did not escape, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven? Now, what's happening here, he's saying, contrasting old and new. That is, now when Moses spoke to the people, Moses was a transmitter of God's oracles, God's word. Moses was just repeating what God said, say. But Jesus is the actual direct voice of God. So if people who were just hearing Moses transmit something, if they couldn't get ahead ignoring that, oh, we sure can't get ahead ignoring Jesus, who's not transmitting. He's giving us the direct voice of God. He is the word of God. Amen. So hearing his voice, Jesus' voice, following his direction, man, that's paramount. Because he came full of grace and truth. And how else can he convey that truth, that grace, except he speak to us and we hear him? We hear it through scripture, hear it through prayer, through God's spirit. So hearing God today through Christ is a direct voice. Whereas Moses was a transmitter. I mean, even I'm just transmitting to you today the word. But when you hear a voice behind the voice, that's God. See, when you hear and bear witness to something in your spirit, that's not me anymore. That's God speaking to you. And so it's important. I mean, it's vital that we would honor the words of Jesus Christ, because he's the one God sent. And everything he says is true. Everything he says helps us. That's why having mods and additions and all kind of stuff and weird doctrines, don't need any of that. For example, reading yesterday, teaching about grace. Well, there's a grace message that isn't altogether right. And, you know, the hyper grace, they call it, message is something like, you know, you've been forgiven of all your sins. Yes. Past, present, future. Yes. Uh-huh. Where are you going with this? And you never need to confess it to God. You go out and do adultery today, it's already been forgiven. Go ahead and bring it up to God. Just keep on walking. It'll fall off you one day. Just keep. Yeah. I mean, essentially, that's what he's saying. Because they think, and they say that the book of James, they even say James, the book of James, doesn't belong in the canon of scripture. Because they say James was legalistic. James talked about doing works. Therefore, he's contrary to Paul. They put James and Paul against each other. They tell you that 1 John was a letter to sinners, where it says, confess your sins and fault. But the first verse says, to the brethren, okay? My point is, when people get a message, man, ain't no grace message. There's just grace. There's no kind of message, y'all. It's just Jesus and the word of God. Don't get caught up in stuff. Because if you get caught up in a message, you'll bend everything around your message. Now, they would never say God's a consuming fire. Oh, he is. They would say, no, he wrote to the Hebrews or something. Well, yes. But it's in the Bible for all of us to read. Duh. And they avoid the Old Testament. And don't talk about sin. I mean, extreme versions of it. I mean, it's a lot in there. It's some diverse and strange doctrine in there. And it's all designed to make people feel good. You got to feel good. If you don't feel good, you won't want to serve God. Now, that's pretty immature there, isn't it? How many of you go to work every day don't feel good? Work every day. You work every doggone day. And you don't feel good? I'm not happy. Like Bishop Jake says, who said you have to be happy? All right. My point, though, is there are strange and diverse doctrines. And it's easy to explain these things people dismiss. For example, works. We don't work to be saved. Works are evidence we are saved. Amen. If I'm saved, like I told you last week, the barcode, if you scan the barcode, you put the barcode, put a lemonade barcode on a bag of dog food. And you scan that bag, what's it going to come up as? lemonade. Because the barcode is what the scanner sees. I'm saying that we don't have a barcode just say Christian. We have a barcode, but the package matches the barcode. Amen. So that, listen, y'all, believing God, trusting God, receiving Jesus doesn't give you a label. It gives you a life, a whole new life. So then, again, there are all kinds of extremes of doctrines, extremes of faith, you know, hyper faith thing back in the day, you know, don't lock your door, trust God. You got no insurance. I'm believing God. And one brother said, oh, okay, I got it. Believe God or die. It's like, that's what you got. I'm believing God for my health. I ain't going to the doctor. Oh, okay, yeah, so then believe God or die. See, that's all obvious foolishness. Again, that's why God shakes. God sends shaking to shake off these mods. Let me finish up here. So he says here that, let me go back to my opening text here. Let's come down to verse 27 again. So again, once more indicates the removal of things that are being shaken. Say, Lord, thank you for the removal of things. We praise God. We always give a testimony. Lord, thank you for a new job. And y'all testified to what God took out of your life. What God takes out is as important sometimes as what God puts in. He says, removal of things as are being shaken as of things that are made or man-made or whatever. He says that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Again, therefore, since we're receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably. See, grace gives you the ability to serve God acceptably. I mean, it's not that you have to figure out how to do it. When you have grace, you can walk that way. You have power to walk that way. Serve God with acceptability and with godly fear. Now, the consuming fire part is a reminder. That see, God hadn't changed, y'all. I mean, the covenant changed, Old Testament, New Testament, the word that we live by. I mean, through Christ, there's been changes in how we follow God. But God hasn't changed. Please hear that. He's given us different instruction under Christ, but he himself has not changed. Now, the consuming fire won't affect us because we're in him. But the fire is there for those who reject him. And people say, well, you know, God can never send folk to hell. Who told you that? He doesn't want to. Hell isn't for people. Hell's for the devil and his angels. But if you act like the devil, you're going where the devil's going. So the choice is simple. It's a simple choice. Choose life. Amen. Choose Jesus. Listen to the voice. When the shaking happens, it may hurt, it may make you uncomfortable, but the good news is that when that shaking is complete, all that stuff falls off. All that's left is what cannot be shaken. Last verse, Hebrews 4:16. Now, by the way, one thing that cannot ever be shaken is your relationship with God. Amen. Please hear that. Everything else can shake, it looked like, but you and God together, that walk, that union cannot be shaken. All right, here it is. Here's how we live now. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Read together, please. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Isn't that something? That's a marvelous promise. Why wouldn't we do that? Because in that solution right there is everything you need. He says, don't come with a timid spirit. Come boldly. And that speaks of God's presence, your prayer time, however you meet God. Come boldly, he says, that you may obtain mercy. You're in trouble? There's mercy there's mercy in the presence of God. You can take your trouble into the presence of God, and it won't bother God at all. It won't repel him. The worst thing you could do, it's not going to make God go, ooh. What did you do? He's not going to do that. Because you know why? He already know you did it. He don't have to respond to anything. See, God doesn't have to respond when you show up in his presence. He already knows everything. So when you get there, just get down to business. Amen. Lord, thank you, I'm forgiven. Thank you for cleansing. Thank you, you've made me whole. Let God work with you. You find mercy and grace to help in the time of the end. Now listen, you can't get to anywhere else but the throne of God. You can't get grace to help anywhere else but the throne of God. I can't give it to you. My wife can't give it to me. I mean, nobody, listen to me, nobody can give you grace to help in time of need but God. At that place of worship and prayer, the throne of grace. Y'all got that? That's a simple concept, isn't it? But please get that. We go looking everywhere for stuff. Man. We call prayer lines. That's not wrong. Not wrong to call a prayer line. But do not think these folk at the prayer line, because they got their own problems. The person praying for you, they got their own problems. They are not the throne of grace. In fact, only thing the person at the prayer line can do is redirect you to the throne of grace. Amen. Only thing a counselor can really do, Christian counseling, is direct you to and help you into the lifestyle of seeking God and getting wisdom and grace from him and the resources you need to have in life. Grace is everything you need. Let's all stand.